John chapter 5. The message today is written in the book, spoken by Christ. I want to read passages from the New Testament and the Old because the assignment this month is the book of Genesis, and I purposely said written in the book, spoken by Christ. So let's see in John chapter 5 how these two thoughts are confirmed by what we read. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, because you think in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. Now chapter 8. Verse 41, you do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and am come from God, for neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. But because I say the truth, you believe me not. Now, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now chapter 10. Verse 33. The Savior is asked, why do you try to kill me? And they say in verse 33, the Jews answered, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme because I said, I am the Son of God. Those words, the scripture cannot be broken. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day thereof, when you eat, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And now chapter 4. Verse 2. Again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 8. And Cain told Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the entrance of thy word. It giveth light. Let us know that our hearts have accepted it as light from heaven. You have set the sun in the sky, and it gives us the light of day. And you have placed the word of God in our hands, and it gives us the light of the Spirit for our souls. We thank you, Father, who said, Let there be light, and there was light. And we are thankful that the light has shined upon us. And we desire that it shall continue to shine upon us this day, that we may understand the things that were spoken by your Son, and the things written in the Word of God, the written things and the spoken things, our Father. Help us to understand these that we have read, and the others that we trust shall be referred to. Bless us to this end, we pray. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, a professor who teaches religion, wrote me a letter, and in that letter, he spoke to me about his epistemology. Now, I do not believe that everyone here knows what that word means. Perhaps one or two. Perhaps no one knows what it means, but this is what it means. Epistemology is an investigation of the origin, the nature, the methods, and the limits of human knowledge. It's what you investigate to arrive at a philosophy of life. And I wish he had just said, "This is my philosophy of life." But he used that word, and it's most important, because your philosophy of life is arrived at by your investigation of life. And what you believe is what you have investigated or what you have failed to investigate. And then if I ask you the meaning of life, the reason of things, you would say, "This is my epistemology." And now they will think you are wiser than you are when you use that word in telling people what you think. Now, if you want to know my epistemology, it is this: all that I know and all that I believe is discovered from the written word of God and the spoken word of Christ. I found all the solutions to all the mysteries in these two sources, and that is why I read to you from the New Testament, first of all, and then the Old Testament. I told you last week, and this is most important, that I believe in creation because of what my heart tells me intuitively when I consider the heavens, the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars which God has ordained, and also the Spirit of God within me telling me that I am a creature and that I am made by God, my Creator. I told you that. But I showed you from the New Testament that these truths are confirmed by the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I showed you from Mark chapter 10 and Mark chapter 13 that the Lord Jesus verified the first two chapters in the book of Genesis as true and as historical. Our Savior said this: "In the beginning, God created them male and female." He said, from the beginning of the creation until now. And so our Savior has spoken of creation, and he has spoken of the first two creatures, Adam and Eve. He confirmed also the ordination of marriage. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh." Our Savior has said, this is truth. Now, I have another verse that I could have read you, and I will simply quote it to you. When our Savior was baptized, the Father confessed him as his son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was shining above the brightness of the sun, Peter was confused and knew not what to say, but he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And when he said that, a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Now we have a twofold testimony concerning the Son. The Father says, "He is my Son." And the Father says, "Hear ye him." What other proof do you need for a discovery of what is truth, an epistemology, a philosophy, than what is written and what is spoken by Christ? The Father said, "This is my Son, hear you him." God, your Creator, has said, "Hear my Son." And the Son said this about the written Word of God. He said, "If the Scripture calls creatures gods to whom the Word of God came," he said, "and the Scripture cannot be broken," the Savior said this. He has said that the Word of God is close-knit. It is like a wall that is made up of stones, one stone placed beside another stone. They all fit together. And he says, the Scripture cannot be broken. You cannot take away one stone and another stone and another stone and say, well, this is true, but this is not true. He says, the Scripture cannot be broken. It is inviolable. It is inseparable. And the Savior said, all Scripture, confirming what Paul said, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It cannot be broken. Then, heaven has told me that what his Son said should be listened to. And the Son has said what is written should be listened to. And therefore, I've told you that the message today is the written Word of God and the spoken Word of God. And I showed you that the Lord Jesus confirmed the first two chapters in Genesis in Mark 10 and 13. And then I continued to think along those lines and asked the question, did the Lord Jesus, in his messages that he gave when he was on earth, did he confirm any other portions of the book of Genesis? And this is what I found, that the Lord Jesus confirmed every chapter in the book of Genesis from chapters 1 and 2 unto chapter 50. And that's all. You say, how can that be? I will tell you. I've already shown you that he confirmed creation in Adam and Eve in Mark 10 and in Mark 13. And in chapter 3, he confirmed the entrance of sin into the world and the origin of that sin. I read you that from John chapter 8. The Lord Jesus said concerning Satan that he is a liar and the father of it, and he is a murderer. He abode not in the truth. Now let me ask you this. What was the first lie ever spoken on earth, and to whom was it spoken? You say, the lie was the word spoken by the serpent to Eve. When Eve said, we are not to eat of that fruit, or we shall surely die. And the serpent said, thou shalt not surely lie. That is the first lie, and that is the father of lies who spoke it through the instrumentality of the serpent. Now, it says that he was a murderer. The Bible tells us this, that God said, if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. And Satan said, you shall not surely die. And when they ate of the fruit, they did die. And so he was both a murderer by telling the lie, and he was the liar by deceiving Eve, beguiling Eve into believing that lie. And then, this is what I found about chapter 4 that I read to you about Cain and Abel. The Lord Jesus confirms Abel. He speaks of the righteous blood shed on the earth from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah. And so our Savior said that Abel was righteous and his blood was shed. By whom was it shed? You say, by Cain. And John helps us in his first epistle, chapter 3, by telling us this. We are not to love as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. I understand this now, that in the serpent, Satan was there, using him as an instrument. And when Cain rose up against his brother and murdered him, the Lord Jesus said, it was Satan that did that. It was Satan that influenced him. And this is something that is frightening, that at the first Lord's Supper, Satan was there. It says in John chapter 13 that Satan had put into the mind of Judas to betray the Lord Jesus. He put it in his mind. And then at the end of the chapter, when the Lord Jesus handed Judas the sop, it says, Satan entered into him, and he went out, and it was night. And from the beginning, Satan has been suggesting, has been telling lies, and Satan has been entering and possessing and causing individuals to do things that are not only death to their bodies, but are damnation to their souls. And the Lord Jesus tells us that he was a liar and he was a murderer from the beginning. And so now I have Genesis chapter 3 and 4 confirmed. Listen to this. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. What happens in Genesis chapter 5 is God's first creatures living to extended number of days. The first man lived 930 years, and Methuselah lived 969 years. But concerning every one of them except Enoch, it says this, and he died. And so what the Savior said, that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, you have nothing but murder for the first 930 years in the history of the Bible. No one ever is recorded as dying, naturally, but Cain murdered Abel. That's the first death. And then you will find that a son of Cain murdered a young man for wounding him. And you have nothing but murder for the first 930 years in the Bible. And the Lord Jesus tells us about these things. Cain murdered his brother Abel, his righteous brother Abel. You say, well, what about chapter 6? The Lord Jesus says this, concerning the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah before the flood. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see what the Lord Jesus has told you? You have read about Noah building that ark? You say yes. You remember how God said, come into the ark? You say yes. The Lord Jesus said he went into the ark. And do you remember the rains coming and flooding the earth? You say yes. The Lord Jesus confirmed that. Remarkable, is it not? And this goes through chapter 9. Now, after that, we start picking up individuals. And the first individual that we pick up is Abraham. And for that reason, I read to you in John chapter 8, when the Savior said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And so we have Abraham. But it tells us that Abraham had a nephew named Lot. And it says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. And so Sodom was an inhabitant of the city of Sodom. And the Lord Jesus says, as it was in the days of Sodom, and it mentions the things that they were doing at that time, and it says that fire and brimstone fell upon Sodom, and he says this, remember Lot's wife. And so our Savior has said that this flood that is laughed at and this fire coming from heaven and destroying Sodom and Gomorrah is laughed at, and Lot's wife becoming a pillar of salt is laughed at. The Lord Jesus personally confirms that these things were historical and they were true. You say, so now we have Abraham and we have Lot and the destruction of Sodom? Yes. And this is why I know that the rest is true. The Savior said, in a coming day, you shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out. You say, he mentioned Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Yes, and they take up the rest of the chapters in the book of Genesis. You say, well, what more does he tell us about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He tells us about the 12 sons of Jacob. You say, where? He said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How many sons did Jacob have? You say, 12. Where did the 12 tribes come from? You say, Jacob's son. The Lord Jesus has confirmed the book of Genesis from chapter 1 to chapter 50. And I've just told you these that come to mind. And for that reason, since the Father has said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at the teachings in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and I'm going to determine what my philosophy in life shall be according to what is written there and not what man tells me. Listen to the lie. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Go to any institution of learning, unless it is a Christian, godly institution, and they will tell you that there was no beginning by God, but there was a beginning, and that beginning simply happened. There was no source behind it. And they will tell you this, that you came from one cell that progressively developed over millions and millions of years until you have arrived where you are now. And this is their only possible way that they can tell you it happened. One cell developing into a more complicated cell, combining with other cells. And this is what they found today, that all life is determined by DNA and the genetic code. And so the only thing they can tell you is this, the genetic code passes on always exactly what is written in that code until there is a mutation, and then that mutation changes it. And they said that the mutations changed in such a minor way that it took millions of years. Well, how did these mutations survive? They say, this is the survival of the fittest. This is natural selection. What happened is that those that were better adapted to nature, they were the ones that were able to survive, and all these others that did not have that adaptability and that advancement, they perished. And that's the only thing they will tell you, that there is the genetic code and mutations have changed it in increments so small that it takes millions of years. And from one cell, we have developed as to what we are today. It's impossible for any genetic code to develop and form an eye, to form an ear, to form a mouth, because God said this, who made a man's mouth? Who made a man to hear? Who made a man deaf and dumb? Who is he who made the eye? Cannot God see? And what man has done is this. He has lied to you as Satan lied in the garden. He said, if you eat of it, you shall not surely die. And the Lord Jesus has said, God has created you. And Satan says, God has not created you. You are a product of chance. You have evolved. And inasmuch as Satan has convinced you that it's true, then you have no responsibility to God. And the Scripture agrees with that. The Scripture says, if there is no resurrection, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we're going to die, and that's the end of things. But then it adds this, but now is Christ risen. But the Bible says this, if Satan has convinced you into believing a lie, believe that lie, and then live according to the philosophy, to your epistemology, the way that you have figured things out. There is no God, there is no creation, there is no responsibility to a creator, and therefore I shall live as I please, and when I die, there is no accountability. That's the end of things. Then live that way, because there is an accountability. And the Lord Jesus mentions this in his parable. He said, son, remember that in this life you received your good things. And so live it up. Enjoy all the good things you can, because I promise you this, according to what the Word says, and to what the Lord Jesus says, and the Father in heaven says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The Lord Jesus says that when the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and that is what the Savior says. And so listen to men and what they tell you. When you die, that's the end. And the Lord Jesus said, when you die, you will lift up your eyes in hell, being in torment. And so, it's just this simple. There is a philosophy of life that is based upon evolution, and there is a philosophy of life based upon creation. And if you accept creation, you have to accept all the responsibilities that go along with it. Because the Savior has not only spoken of creation, but he has given us the details of creation, the responsibilities of creation. And those things have devolved upon us. Now, here is what I find. I look at man, and Ecclesiastes tells us this. God made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. If I look at man in the first two chapters of Genesis, I rejoice. I see the image and likeness of God coming out. I see man's ability to look at animals and give them names. I see his ability to have dominion over all of God's creation. He intuitively knows things. He can converse with God. And that is beautiful. And that is the way that God wanted it to continue to be. God wanted man to learn about good and evil, but not because of a lie of Satan. And God wanted man to become like himself, but not by theft and by listening to a lie. He wanted to partake of what God had told him not to partake of, and by disobeying God, by eating of the fruit that God had forbidden, he wanted to become like God. And so by theft, he wanted to become wise unto good and evil. But what happens is this, that Satan did tell the truth, if you look at it from a certain angle. It said that when they ate of that fruit, their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They had learned about good and evil, but they had learned about it in such a way that they could not control the evil, but that evil possessed them and controlled them. God could teach them about good and evil, to love the good and eschew the evil. But what Satan taught them was this, to hate God, disobey God, and love the evil. And he succeeded by telling a lie. And the Bible says that Satan was a liar and the father of it, and he was a murderer. He was the one personally responsible for the death of Adam and Eve eventually, and the immediate death that befell them when they disobeyed God. Because someone might say, they didn't die. Satan told the truth. They didn't die. They died the moment that they partook of that fruit. Perhaps even before, when they had decided to eat of that fruit. Why? Because this is what I'm told in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. God says that there is a spiritual death before there is a spiritual, a physical death. And I was born dead in trespasses and in sins. And when our parents partook of that fruit, they died spiritually the moment they took of it. And then there was murder. There was death. And then 930 years later, there was the normal death of Adam. And so as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And our Savior has confirmed this, that we have not lost the image of God, but it is marred. It says in Genesis chapter 5, and Adam begat a son in his own image after his own likeness. But that image and likeness that Adam possessed in the garden before sin was far different from the image passed on to Seth and to even Enoch. That image was marred. And for that reason, man, instead of putting his mind to the good of creation, he puts his mind to the good of himself. And instead of putting his mind to love his neighbor as himself, he puts his mind to loving himself. And the Lord Jesus has told all of this in advance. And what is so sad is this. He confirms the passing on of sin into the world when he says this. When he went to the feast, many believed on him. They heard his words. But these are those that had believed in Christ. It said, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he needed not that anyone testify him of man, because he knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. He knows what you are possessed of. He knows what is in you. It says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus knows what is in you. And so the Lord Jesus looks at you, and he sees the image of God marred, and he sees you as the lost sheep, and he has gone forth to embrace you, to bring you back, to give you that garden I told you that God made in heaven, as well as that garden he made on earth. And the Lord Jesus wants you to come back to that garden. You have listened to a lie, and God has sent you out of that garden, and you will die. But he has sent his Son, and he is the resurrection and the life. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Jesus has come to take you to heaven. Allow him to do the will of his Father. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we believe that thy word is truth. We believe, our Father, that your Son is the way and the truth and the life. We are thankful that while you teach us that we know so little, that we are in darkness, we are thankful that you have sent your Son from heaven. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And even as fallen sinners, Father, your light has shined upon us and has given us new natures. We are made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and you promised us light along the way. Our Father, let us walk in the light as Christ is in the light, and let thy Son soon come to take us to that heavenly home. In his name we pray. Amen.
Now we close by singing number 2.